The Old Testament scripture today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. And praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everyone and everything that breathes praise the Lord. And the New Testament reading is from, well, actually it's not New Testament, it's an Old Testament. The book of Kings, 1 Kings, first chapter of Kings, verses 28 to 40. Listen to King David when he speaks. King David answered, "Summon Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has saved my life from every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So will I do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and did obeisance to the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." King David said, "Summon to me the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada." And when they came before the king said to him, "Take with you the servants of the Lord and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. There let the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' And you shall go up in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so order. And as the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." And so the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan and Benaiah son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and Perizzites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and led him to Gibeon. And there the priest Zadok took a horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we reflect upon these words of your Holy Scripture, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts here this morning. Amen. There's a fascinating scene from the movie The Shawshank Redemption. The main character, Andy Dufresne, a prisoner at Shawshank Prison, has been put in charge of cleaning the warden's office. One day he is rummaging through some old stuff in the office and comes across a record. And he starts to play it. And then he locks the guard in the bathroom so the guard can't get out. And then Dufresne then turns on the public address system so that everyone in the prison can hear this beautiful music. And while the music is playing, the narrator of the movie says, "For the briefest of moments, everyone in the prison felt free." Such is the power of music, isn't it? Even in the darkest circumstances, music helps us hold on to a better picture of tomorrow. And today, we are celebrating music and its power to move us, its power to bring us closer to God. And I don't think there's anything that quite proclaims the music of worship like a church organ. Many churches may be moving away from the organ in worship, but there are some times that only an organ can provide the mood that worship requires. Christian church scholar Lyle Schaller once told me that even in churches that feature only rock bands and contemporary music, the brides of those churches still want to walk down an aisle to the music of an organ. And when my time comes, I want to be sent out with "For All the Saints" playing on a full organ. Hope someone's taking notes. Organs have been around for a long time. I just found out this week that the first organ preceded the birth of Jesus. The first organ was invented in 250 BC in Alexandria, Egypt, which was then the center of the world's technological knowledge. The organ, called a hydraulis, was powered by water that created the air pressure necessary to force the air through the pipes. By the Middle Ages, organs had become popular in Europe, and manual bellows had replaced water to create air pressure. But it took quite an effort. The organ in Halberstadt Cathedral, built in 1361, for example, required 10 hardworking men to pump the bellows to fill the pipes with air so the organ could be played. Eventually, mechanical air pumps replaced human-operated bellows, but for centuries it took a lot of people to play the organ. Around 1500, mechanical stops were invented, which allowed for more variety and control of the organ by shutting off some pipes and opening others. And it also gave us the phrase, "pulling out all the stops," which of course means pulling them all out so they're all part of the music. The Renaissance era is considered the golden age of the organ. During this time, the tonal variety and quality improved, and organs were constructed were masterpieces of art as well as sound quality. This is when the organ became referred to as the king of instruments because of its sheer size, impressive appearance, and the sheer variety of sound that could come out of an organ. Designers have continued to improve on the traditional organ, giving it more range, more variety, more style. With the invention of the electric organ in the 20th century, organs have even become mainstream, with many people having an electric organ in their homes. Organs are found outside the church as well. Theater organs provided background music for the silent movie days. Roller rinks and other entertainment centers have employed organs to enliven the experience. And you can still go to Wrigley Field in Chicago, and during the seventh inning stretch, you can sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" accompanied by an organ. How many have done that, huh? Yeah, there's a few Cub fans here, aren't there? One place that you do not find an organ is in the Bible. I looked, but I didn't find any mention of one. What I did find in the Bible were references to playing instruments in worship, including the pipes, which scholars tell us could be one of several instruments that made sound by a person blowing air through them like a recorder or over them like a flute. These, of course, were the predecessors of the modern organ, which makes its sound by blowing air through pipes. Psalm 150 declares that we should praise God with all sorts of instruments, trumpets, lutes, harps, tambourine strings, and pipes. There is no doubt that worship in the Old Testament was to be filled with music. The Christian church was also filled with music. Paul tells us that the early church was filled with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs in his letter to the Colossians. Throughout history, music has been integral to the worship of God, from Gregorian chants to Christian rock. Humans have found ways to express their praise of God in music. And all this music, with or without an organ, shouldn't surprise us, because music is a gift from God and has always been part of our worship from God, of God. Music connects us with each other. Nothing has the power to unite humans than singing together. It bonds us together in the act of worship and connects us to certain memories and experiences. Who hasn't heard an old song on the radio and been immediately transported back in time to when you first heard that song? Music also expresses our emotion. Music expresses our joy, our fears, our worries, our excitements. And many times, music allows us to express feelings that we cannot otherwise articulate. And music brings hope. Think of how the African American spirituals were the anchors of hope to a people caught in slavery. Or think of how the chance to hear music left the prisoners of Shawshank feeling free, if only for a moment or two. And finally, music is at the center of our praise for God. Psalm 150 fully describes how music becomes our mechanism of praise. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and harp, the psalm tells us. It goes on to say, praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. All the instruments are to join in praising God. And what better instrument is there than the church organ for giving praise to God? We here are fortunate that our forebears in faith invested in this instrument back here 50 years ago and worked to maintain it and improve it since then. And we are fortunate to have been gifted with a musician who can make wonderful music emerge from this instrument, and we give thanks. In our passage from 1 Kings, we read about the coronation of Solomon, king of Israel. Like any coronation, and like the one that's going to happen in England soon, this coronation was filled with ceremony and celebration. And then we read, there the priest Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. And then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. Now, I know the pipes mentioned in this story were not organ pipes, but selfishly, I like to think they were. I like to think that old priest Zadok told the musicians to pull out all the stops and make the pipes blow the roof off so that the earth quaked at their noise. Thankfully, Lynn knows how to play our organ so that it won't blow the roof off. However, I do know that there have been many times when I have quaked in my heart at the music that she has played. Amen.